Kell blinked at Gower. Pages and squires were allowed to hire their own servants, but having them cost money. While Kell had a tidy sum placed with Salma, against the day that she might get enough free time to visit the markets, she wasn't certain that she could afford a maid. She could write to her parents, who had remained in Chorus to present two of Kell's sisters at court that autumn, but Kell wasn't sure their budget, strained by the costs of formal dresses in the townhouse, held spare money for a daughter who would never bring them a bride price. She was about to explain all this when Lalasa turned her head to look back and up at her uncle. Kell saw a handspan of bruise under her left ear. Suddenly, Kell felt cold. Gently, she took Lalasa's right arm and drew it towards her, pushing the sleeve back. Bruises, like fingerprints, marked the inside of her forearm. Lalasa refused to meet her eyes.
"You should report this," Kell told Gower tightly. "This is not right."
"Some are nobles, miss," replied the man firmly. "We're common. And the upper servants? They'll get us turned out."
"Then tell me the names and I'll report them," she urged. "Selma would help, you know she would. So would Prince Roald."
"But His Highness is not everywhere. And others will make our lives a misery," Gower replied. "In the end, it's Lalasa's word against that of an upper servant or noble. It's the way of the world, Page Kellatry."
Kell heard a whisper and bent down.
"What did you say?" she asked.
Lalasa met her eyes and glanced away.
"They meant no harm, my lady."
"Grabbing you by the neck so hard it bruised, of course they meant harm," snapped Kell.
Gower knelt.
"Please, Lady Kelladry," he said. "If she's your maid, she'll be safe. Your family is in great favor since they brought about the Imani Alliance."
"Please get up," Kell pleaded.
No one had knelt to her since she was 5. Then the tribute had been to her mother standing beside her.
"Gower, stop it."
"I've enough pocket money to pay her for the quarter," she thought hurriedly as she stood and tried to tug the man to his feet. "If I explain to Mama and Papa, they'll help. I know they will."
"She's hired, all right. Please, stop that."
He stared up into her face.
"Your word on it?"
"Yes, my word is a Mindolin."
"You won't be sorry, miss," Gower told her as he rose. "Ever."
Kell heard footsteps pound in the hall outside.
"Oh, I'm gonna be late."
She scribbled a note for Salma asking for an extra magicked key to the door, a silver noble as a month's wages, and a spare cot for Lalasa to sleep on. She waved the note to dry the ink and gave it to Gower.
"About the dog," she began.
"What dog?"
Gower asked. He bowed, Lalasa curtsied. They left Kell to get ready for lunch. Shaking her head at her folly, she didn't need another complication in her life. Kell looked around until she saw the dog. He had jumped onto her bed to nap.
"Good for you," she said, and stripped off the rest of her clothes.
A real bath was impossible. She wet her head and scrubbed her face and under her arms, mourning the proper soak that would have eased her aching muscles and made her feel less sticky. Perhaps she could visit the women's baths that night, though it meant she'd have to take time from her after-supper exercises and classwork.
"First day and I'm already behind," she remarked as she struggled into hose and tunic. "Oh, how splendid."
Kell raced into the mess hall that served the pages and squires. All eyes turned towards her. Some boys growled. Lunch was the pages' most anticipated meal of the day, after a morning's rough and tumble in practice. Since none could eat until everyone had arrived, latecomers were never greeted pleasantly.
"I suppose she thinks she's one of us now, so she doesn't have to be polite anymore."
Joran of Stone Mountain's cultured voice was clear over the boys' low mutter.
"Page Kelladry?"
Lord Wilden of Caval, the training master, could pitch his voice to carry through a battle or across the hall easily. Kell faced his table placed on a dais at the front of the room and bowed.
"A knight who is tardy costs lives. Report to me when you have eaten."
Kell bowed again and went to get her food.
"Joran of Stone Mountain,"
Lord Wilden's level tone was the same as it had been for Kell.
Good manners are the hallmark of a true knight. You too will report once you have finished.
Kel sighed. She and Joran had not got on well during her first year as a probationer. She'd hoped that would change now that she was a true page. If Joran was to be punished on her account, she didn't think it would improve his feelings about her. Once her tray was filled, Kel looked around, hands waved from a table in the back. She walked over and slid into place among her friends. Neelan of Queen's Cove poured her fruit juice, while other boys passed the honeypot and butter.
"So, Kelladry of Mendelin," said Neel, his slightly husky voice teasing. "Not even a full day into your second year and already you have punishment work lined up. Don't leave it till the last minute, that's what I say."
He was a tall, lanky youth who wore his light brown hair combed back from a widow's peak. His sharp-boned face was lit by green eyes that danced wickedly as he looked at her. He was 16, older than the other pages, but only in his second year. He had put aside a university career to become a knight. Neel had taught Kel to know the palace the year before, assisting her with classwork and cheering her worst moods with his tart humor. In return, she tried to keep him out of trouble and made him eat his vegetables. It was a strange friendship, but a solid one.
Neil's just disappointed because he thought he'd be first,